for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Labor Day Camp Meeting, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Friday, September the 2nd, 2005. Dr. William Null of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is the minister.
This afternoon we're going to have a mass deliverance service. How many of y'all ever been in a mass deliverance service? You know that spirits, for those of you who've never been in a mass deliverance service, a spirit, the word spirit in Hebrew and Greek means wind or breath. And spirits generally come out of the breathing passages. They come out of the natural openings of the body as a general rule. You'll find people say, where does it say that a coughing is an indication that a spirit is coming out of you in the Bible? I want you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 16, verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. Who these signs are going to follow? Believers. In my name they shall cast out demons, and they shall speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and will drink any deadly thing, will no man hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Those are five things there. And we're just going to talk about the second one, first one. The first one says you will cast out. That word cast out in the Greek means expel. And if you look it up in the Bible dictionary, it means to cough, vomit, or give a quick jerk. A spirit. Did you know that atomic physics, physicians of physicists will tell you that your body is 99.9% space? This thing is 99.9% space. See, all of the mass is concentrated in the nucleus of the atom. And then there's a circle around it of two electrons, and then a bigger circle of eight electrons. And these things, and that is most, this nucleus is really very, very small. And so there's, you have mostly space. And for that reason, an evil spirit can move through that wall. Now Jesus, when he had his resurrection body, came into a locked room, just walked in. You think you got your resurrection body, so you can walk through that wall over there. But a spirit has a different body. It says they are terrestrial bodies, they're heavenly bodies, and they're terrestrial bodies. Now your terrestrial body will pass away. And the heavenly body, the spiritual body, rests in the center of this, given by God. It's an earthly tabernacle made out of dirt. Now, when you have invasion of this by an evil spirit that can inhabit part of your body, but not your spirit, and oppress you, you have a right to command him to go once you cancel his legal rights. When he's got no legal right to be there, he has to leave if you command him. And how does he leave? He generally leaves through the air passages, through your nose, through your mouth, and other bodily openings. Now, sometimes I've seen them rise up like smoke out of your head or come out of your ears. Pittman said when he saw the frog spirit of sexual lust go into this man, it looked like a frog, and he just sort of walked into him. When he accepted it. You can look at Pittman's books back there. They're very interesting. Brother Pittman and I had never met each before, but we sat down and we began to talk about the things we'd seen. And he was asking me questions, and I was asking him questions. And I came to the conclusion that his experience was real. And he came to the conclusion that my experience was real, because we both saw the same things independently. And so these spirits will come out when you command them. And what you do is you let happens what happens. You want it to leave, say leave, and trust the Holy Spirit. Now, if you say, I don't want it to be a manifestation anybody can see, I don't want anybody to know I got that, you see, you can keep it. You want your demons, you get to keep them. And nobody's interested in your demons. They're more interested in trying to get their own out. They're not worried about yours. There are some things that I'd ask everybody to cough. I tell everybody to cough. I'm generally doing this when I'm ministering to a group of men. There's some things that you don't want to think anybody to think they might do that. So we have everybody cough. So nobody suppress the cough, so things will come out. And so when we're praying, we just say, just relax and let what happens, happens. If you got to choose between your dignity and your demons, get rid of your demons. You can get your dignity back. You don't want to keep the demons. Demons love you if you keep them. They don't want to leave. They want to stay there. They're comfortable there. Because once they're out, they walk through dry places and get no rest. The one thing they want more than anything is a body to possess so they can manifest themselves through you and do their job that the enemy has sent them to do. You see, they're all on assignment. They all have a job to do. And their job is to destroy the kingdom of God in your life and in the lives of people around you, in your family. And your job is to bind them and send them to the pit. And when you bind something, angels actually come and tie it with chains and haul it off. And I don't think they come back. They say, what about the scripture in Matthew? Well, I have an entirely different interpretation of that scripture, and I don't want to get into that. If I do, I won't ever get out. But today I want to talk to you about the occult. Now, the occult, the word occult means hidden. It means hidden. And people have always been curious, and they've always wanted knowledge that nobody else has. They've been curious about things they don't understand. They want knowledge that nobody else has. They'd like to be able to control other people to get them to do what they want them to do. And you can open any number of magazines and you'll see things that learn the hidden knowledge of the past that the rich folks have kept hidden. And this is what they do to amass great wealth, and we're going to sell these secrets to you. Join them in the Rosicrucians and bend people to your will. That's just witchcraft. And there are people who will join this and pay good money. You see, there's a great advertisement of the occult in our society today. Kids are turning to the occult because in the church, the mainline churches, there is no power. There is no power. There's no power to stand against the enemy. It's a feel-good gospel. And the kids are turning to the power of the sorcerer. You see, fairy tales have always glorified the sorcerer. You have the good witch and the evil witch. Snow White, Grimm's fairy tales, all glorified the sorcerer. And we've seen this cult made today in what we call I can't remember his name, man. All this recent series of books of sending the kid Harry Potter, sending these kids off to the sorcerer's school. Like, you know, there's some place that you can send your kids that they can learn this magic and they can do this and they can do that. And you say, well, is that real? You better believe it's real. I don't think there's any place quite like they have in the movie there that makes it so dramatic, but it's real. I was raised in Alabama, and there was a man who lived down the road from us who was a sorcerer called a hoodoo. And people came from miles around to the hoodoo. And I remember a man came in, had lost his billfold with his week's wages in it. And so the sorcerer threw some branches in the fireplace that had been soaked in the mineral springs that had a lot of potassium and a lot of nitrate in it. And they flared up and gave a rather peculiar light to the room. And he looked at first he collected 50 cents, I'm sorry. First he got his money. And then he did that. And then he looked at a clock that didn't have a case on it, and he looked at the wheels turning, and he put his head back, and he chanted something that was probably demonic tongues, I didn't know. And he said, "I see you now. You went to a party Saturday night, and you got drunk. You're going home. I see you. You go down to the big spring. You walk around the big oak tree by the spring there, and you pass out. I see you getting up and going home, and your wallet is behind the oak tree by the big spring down by the creek." Man went down, and his wallet was behind that tree. It's the power of the sorcerer. I did work. That man had familiar spirits assigned to his family. They went with him all the time. The sorcerer has a familiar spirit through which he can manifest supernatural power. His familiar spirit talked to the man's familiar spirit, got the information, and passed it to the sorcerer, who in turn passed it to the man. That's the way it works. It works through familiar spirits. Now, I can show you in Scripture how these spirits are assigned and so forth. But that's not the purpose today. You only cover so much in 45 minutes. You can't take it all in 1 hour. But spirits are real. I've seen two people die when they had the curse put on them. When I was a small boy, this particular sorcerer put a curse on a young girl. He pointed the box at her. The box was a cigar box. It had some snake bones in it, rattlesnake fangs, black widow spiders, a number of other stuff. I can remember looking into it. He let me just look into it once and shut it. And he shook that box and he pointed at her and he said something. That girl shriveled up and died in 3 days. I did not see it again until I was a physician. I had gone to medical school. I graduated. I went to my hometown and a friend of mine was practicing medicine there. And he said to me, "Bill, I got this most peculiar case out at the hospital." I said, "If you've got time, I wish you'd come out there and take a look at it. She came in last night and I can't make heads or tails of what's going on with her." This was back in the 50s. 50 years ago. And so I went over and I recognized it. I had seen it before. And I talked to her family and I said, "What hoodoo put a curse on her?" And I said, "It's okay." I got them in the room alone. I said, "It's okay, I understand that sort of thing." I said, she's been cursed by the hoodoo. And they said, "Yes, that was true." I said, "Well, go pay him to take the curse off. Said he wants too much money. We can't do it. He won't take it off." She died 2 days later. She went downhill in spite of everything we did, and she died. We posted her, got an autopsy, got toxicology. Everything was negative, except she was dead. The demons killed her. Tell me about supernatural power of the hoodoo. I can go on and talk about things I've seen, but I won't. I just say that it's real. You say, "Well, where I hear about your experiences, Dr. Noah, but you tell me where in the Bible it says that." Well, let's look at Nahum, chapter 3, verse 4. And you got Joel, Amos, Micah, Nahum. Page 1338. Here we have Nahum. And Nahum is a vision given to a small prophet against Nineveh, the capital of Assyria. And he prophesied there that it would be destroyed with an overcoming flood. Now, if you understand, Assyria was a great city. It had a wall that went up 150, 200 feet tall. It was wide enough to drive three chariots on, side by side, all the way around this hill, a moat 200 feet deep, 100 feet deep or something, around in front of it. It was considered impregnable. It had 25-year supply of food. It was considered impregnable. But it was on the bank of the Tigris River. And God says here, they will be destroyed in a overcoming flood. So God raised the Tigris River, swept out the foundation of the wall fell down. The enemy came in and sacked Nineveh, completely destroyed it, so they did not find it for almost 3,000 years. 2,500 years later, they found the ruins of Nineveh, a great city. And what did he say about it? Look at chapter 3. Chapter 3 says, "Woe to the bloody city, it's full of lies and robbery, its victim never departs. The noise of the whip, the rattling of the sound of the noise of rattling wheels, of galloping horses and clattering chariots, horsemen charged with bright sword and glittering spear. There's a multitude of slain, a great number of bodies, countless corpses still there." All right. "Because of the multitude of the harlotries and the seductive harlot, the mistress of sorceries, who sells nations through her sorceries and families through her sorceries. Assyria had grown so powerful and they used witchcraft so well that they captured nations through their witchcraft and families. They did psychic surgery. They dug up and they found that they had actually tree-fined skulls and did surgery on the skulls, brain surgery. They cut off limbs and wound them back together. They did it with psychic surgery, witchcraft. You want to read about psychic surgery? Get Joanne Michelson's book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, if you can find a copy. Unfortunately, it's out of print, but there are all copies around. And she talks about psychic surgery. Now, you'll have people on television tell you it's all hocus pocus. There's a lot of hoodoo out there, and there's a lot of hocus pocus. There's no doubt about that. There's a lot of sleight of hand, there's a lot of fakers, but there's a real thing too. And the Bible says, through their sorceries. Okay, let's look at Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 18. "Thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who slow magic charms on their sleeves and make veils for the head of people of every height to hunt souls. Will you hump the souls of my people to keep yourself alive? Will you profane me among my people for handful of barley and pieces of bread, killing people who should not die, and keeping people alive who should not live by your lying to people who listen to your lies? There they're using sorcery to heal people and to kill people. Thus, magic charms. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against your magic charms which you hunt souls like birds." That's literally a flying thing. "I will tear them from your arms and let the souls go, the souls you hunt like birds. I will tear the veils off and deliver my people out of your hand. They shall no longer be prey for your hand. Then you'll know I am the Lord." Now look at Ezekiel 21. Ezekiel 21, 21. We'll start with verse 20. Well, we've got with verse 18. Here the prophet is prophesying. "The word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, appoint for yourself two ways for the sword of the king of Babylon to go. Of them shall go from the same land. Make a sign, put it at the head of the road. Appoint a road for the sword to go to Rabbath of the Ammonites and to Judah and to fortified Jerusalem. For the king of Babylon stands at the parting of the road, to the fork of the two roads, to use divination." That's magic. "He shakes the arrows." He shakes these arrows and throws them out on the ground. And then his sorcerer will interpret the pattern. He do the same with the Ashin sticks. That's the Chinese method. "My Indian ancestors shook the bones out and interpreted the pattern of the bones. He consults the images, that's his idols, and he looks at the liver. And what he does is they take some poor animal out there, and while he's still alive, they have somebody hold him, and they cut him open. And they look at the intestine, the way it's lined. Then they reach down and grab the liver and cut it out and bring it out and look at the lines on it. And it's called heproscoping. Hepro meaning liver. And then go to Jerusalem. It'll fall. He went to Jerusalem. Jerusalem fell. They had witchcraft down to a fine art. In the Bible, in the undeniable Word of God, it says they kill people, they make people alive, they get knowledge of which way to go. Magic. Magic. Well, magic. What does the word magic mean? When you think of magic, you think of the sleight of hand man pulling a rabbit out of the hat or doves out of it and so forth. And all done by illusion. There's a theater here in town, a man, and he's a very good illusionist, and he does it with smoke and mirrors and so forth. But I'm talking about something different. Webster's Second Collegiate Dictionary, Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, second edition, published 1978, says, magic. The ability to control people or natural events by supernatural means. It is divided, and they give you three divisions. Witchcraft, sorcery, divination. Sorcery is the first one. Sorcery and witchcraft and divination all overlap, you understand. But they're generally divided into three broad categories. Sorcery is the use of music, drugs, potions, talisman, charms, and curses to control people or natural events. Well, now, what is a talisman? I used to, on my key ring, see, I have a piece of, I have a door opener now. You know, it opens my door. But I used to have a big, round, silver disc on it. And it had engraved on it an old man with a staff. And his name was Saint Christopher. And he was supposed to protect me when I traveled. Now that's depending on something other than the Holy Spirit. That's sorcery. Control of events. He was supposed to keep me from having wrecks. I see people who have a rabbit's foot attached to their key ring. Supposed to bring them good luck. And y'all know what the word luck means? That's the god of good fortune in the Egyptian system. Don't wish people good luck. Don't curse them like that. Tell them God bless you. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you. May His grace and favor be with you. That's biblical. Paul said, grace. It carries shalom to you. He combined the Hebrew greeting and the Greek greeting. The Greek said grace to you. The Hebrew said shalom, which means peace, health, wholeness, and prosperity. Either one of those will do fine. Don't curse them by giving them a Babylonian blessing, invoking some Babylonian god. Four-leaf clovers, wishbones, burning candles to saints, praying to dead folks, music. Go down to the, go overseas into Africa, listen to the drums. I can still hear the voodoo drums when I was a kid, a child. I can remember those drums. That's the same beat I hear today, calling up the demons. The tribal elders came to the missionaries and said, why does your son play this music? That's what they've used to call up demons around here for generations. Playing his rock music. Christian rock, you understand. Sort of like Christian pornography. Christian karate. Christian yoga. God says, Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? No one. Job chapter 14, verse 4. Who can bring, I think it's verse 4, chapter 14. Who can bring an unclean thing out of a clean thing out of something that's unclean, got an unclean root like yoga, designed to worship a Hindu god, Buddhist god, the god to loosen and bring the god Kundalini up out of your spine, up into your head. He's a Jezebel spirit, a snake spirit. They tell your children in school, meditate and bring up this cute little snake that's going to rise up and give you wisdom. It's against the law to preach Jesus Christ, but it's all right to preach Hindu gods. Jesus. And so that's sorcery. Witchcraft. Witchcraft is to accomplish the above goals by the use of compact with demons. You make a contract with the demons. That's witchcraft. Compact with evil spirits, with demons. Demon is your friend. Comes, talks to you. Find children frequently that have imaginary playmates. They have their friends that come and talk to them. Keep them company. Particularly if they've been abused, hurt, neglected, ignored. They have an imaginary friend come and talk to them. And that's a demon. And they make a contract with that demon. Well, if we remember the case of a young girl who was the 12th daughter, born of the veil, I can't remember the number now. But she was in a gypsy family. And grandmother was dying, and she'd been chosen by the spirit world to receive the spirit. Grandmother was a economic staple of the family. She was the fortune teller. She had the gift. And she was dying, and they called this girl and said, the spirit world has chosen you to receive the gift, the family gift. Her parents said, kneel down and take it. So grandmother put her hand on her head, and she said, and she accepted the spirit and said, something cold settled over her. And just something cold settled down on her. And she began to shimmer. Her personality changed and she became a fortune teller. She was 12 or 14 then. When she was 25 years old, she was watching Jimmy Swaggart on television and got saved. And she was convicted of her conscience that telling fortunes was not right. And so she found refuge in a caring Christian family, okay, in Baton Rouge, and they brought her up here. And it was my privilege to pray with her several times. But she made a contract with that demon. She accepted that demon into her life, and she was then able not only to tell fortunes, but to do acts of magic. Now, she had a very powerful divination spirit, very powerful demon. But she was still controlled by the men. The men of the tribe ruled her ruthlessly. And they had all kind of witchcraft that made them very excellent salesmen. And they controlled the families. She didn't feel like she could go home. I still remember when we cast that spirit of that powerful spirit of divination out of her. She looked at me and she said, my spirit is leaving my body. I'm going to die. I said, no, you're not. That's the divination spirit. Wave it goodbye, honey, because you don't want it in you. And she said, goodbye, I don't want you. And it hit the wall over there, and the whole building shook. I mean, everybody in the room stopped. Like a cannonball hit the wall. It didn't go out the door. It went out that wall, and when it did, it kicked the wall. My privilege to pray with her another 4 or 5 times, and so far as I know, she's still free. That's been a long time. But she made a contract. People make contracts. Witches make contracts with demons. You know, the devil treats his people real bad. The real witches and Satanists that I have ministered to have all had cancer a couple of times, been in the insane asylum a couple of times. He treats them just really bad. Because he hates them just like he hates you. And that's witchcraft. Divination is knowledge. Now, the fortune-telling girl had a spirit of divination by which she was able to, as Harry, be able to communicate with the people's familiar spirits around them and forecast the future and forecast, tell you about what's happened in the past. And she will speak something into the future. And if you accept it as being true, then the spirit world, the evil spirits, will move in the spirit world to bring it to pass. Derek Prince tells a story of he was ministering to this woman that had a powerful divination spirit, and he cast a number of spirits out of her and said, one day he was ministering to her, and she looked up to him and she said, Dr. Prince, I see you leaving the church. I see you going down the road and your car's in a wreck and you're killed. And he said, I bind you in the name of Jesus, you foul divination spirit. I am not going to be in a wreck. I am not going to be killed. In Jesus' name, I bind you and command you to come out. And he said, the spirit came out. But if he had gotten frightened and accepted that as truth, he said he was sure that there would have been a wreck that would have killed him. Because the evil spirits would have moved to bring that to pass because he had accepted it. It was a curse. It was a spoken curse. But that's divination. And so we're going to talk about, and that's the occult. You know, people are curious about divination. You know, we are teaching on, I was teaching on divination in my home prayer group and my deliverance group. And we talked about the Ouija board. Have y'all ever seen a Ouija board? How many of y'all ever seen a Ouija board? How many of y'all ever been there when you seen the pallet move? Okay. Did you get the spirit of Ouija cast out of you? Did you confess it as sin and get that spirit of Ouija cast out of you? Well, they brought one, and so I talked about the Ouija board. And bless Pete, I come to the meeting the next week, and I got there, and they were all gathered around this table in there. And I said, what in Sam Hill's going on? Oh, Jenny brought her Ouija board, and they want to see it work. And I went in that pattern with food, and I said, I bind you in Jesus' name. And it just stopped. And I said, my Lord, what in the world are y'all doing? Well, we want to see it work. I said, well, let's get the Ouija spirit out of you now, because you've all picked up a Ouija spirit and you've cursed yourself, your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. Just being present, watching, instead of binding it. You know, Irma told the spirit of, she came in one day and the secretaries were all in the back and said they went in and said that this board was there and said she was just praying in tongues and she looked at them and she prayed in tongues and they all looked at her. And then she went in and to the work, said, come on, it's time to get to work, girls. And a few minutes later, this girl came in and said, what'd you do? What do you mean? What did I do? When you came in, the pallet quit moving. What'd you do? She said, I was praying in tongues. Said, you ought not be fooling with that thing. And this girl got mad and quit, left. But praise you, Lord Jesus. Well, let's look and see where it says in the Scripture about this. I can tell stories all day, and I think it's important to look at Scripture. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 18. You say, well, that's Old Testament. I'm a New Testament Christian. I want to see it in the New Testament. We'll get there. We'll get there. It's all one book. You can't possibly understand the New Testament unless you know the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. But you cannot understand the New Testament unless you know the Old Testament. Not really. Now let's look here at Deuteronomy 18. Everybody got Deuteronomy 18? Okay. Verse 9. When you come into the land with the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. What is it? There shall not be among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire. Well, there are two schools of thought on that. One is that they just pass the child through the smoke, like the Druids did when they went out on Halloween and they built a fire and they had their children jump through the fire. But if you get your Bible dictionary down and look up Samus, you'll see that that's the god of the Ammonites, that it was a big cast iron furnace with arms that stuck out, and they built a fire in it. And when your baby was 8 days old, day of circumcision. You put your brought that baby in and you set him on them arms, and then they beat the kettle drum while that child fell down the fire and burned himself to death. You sacrificed your firstborn male child. That was your all obligated, and you were sacrificed so that the God would bless you, you see. You sacrifice your child to the God of self. How many folks have abortions today that they sacrifice their baby to the God of self? It's not convenient right now. I want babies later on, but I don't want one right now. I don't have enough money. It's inconvenient. It will interfere with my career. It's just too much trouble, and I don't want one. And so they go have an abortion. It'll be embarrassing, embarrass my parents, and so I'll go to the school counselor, and they'll take me to the abortion clinic. My boyfriend can come up with the money, and they'll take me to the abortion clinic from the school, and my parents won't ever know. You know that that nurse at that school can't give your child an aspirin tablet without your written permission, but they can take her to the abortionist without your knowledge or consent. Isn't that the stupidest thing you've ever heard of? But that is the Supreme Court, that wonderful Supreme Court judgment. The right of privacy for a 14-year-old. God help us. Okay. So that's abortion. Anyone who practices witchcraft, we've talked about witchcraft, a soothsayer, that's one who interprets omens. Now, you can interpret omens, you can look at the sky. It says red sky in the morning, sailor takes a warning. Red sky at night, sailor's delight. What did Jesus say? When you look at the sky in the morning and it's red, you know rain is coming. You look at it at night and it's red, you know the storm has passed you by. That's what Jesus said. And so you see, not all signs, interpreting all signs, is witchcraft. I mean, anybody can look at that. Anybody can look out there and see a tornado coming and say, man, that's a bad sign. Let's get in the basement. Okay. But there are black clouds on the horizon. We're going to have a bad storm. Yeah. And so God sends that. But when you start counting the number of stars in the halo around the moon, it was 3 days, or you see a shooting star and you begin prophesying this or that, or when you see the rainbow, or you see this, or you see that, and you begin relaying that in the natural realm, when it has no real connection to it, that's a soothsayer, one who interprets omens. Okay? A sorcerer. We talked about what a sorcerer is. Some of these words repeat themselves. One who conjures spells. Now, the old King James says a charmer. That's a hypnotist. That's somebody who does hypnosis. That's your friendly therapist who hypnotize you to bring back your past lives, do age regression to see who mistreated you when you were a child. That's your friendly dentist who will hypnotize you so you won't feel pain. That's your friendly counselor who will hypnotize you so you'll stop eating or stop smoking or stop drinking, and on and on and on. That's your friendly entertainer who will hypnotize you and lay you between two chairs, one on there and on your hips, and have you stiff as a board and put a block of ice on your chest and break it with a sledgehammer. That's supernatural. That's supernatural. I tell you this, there are two sources for supernatural power. There's the Holy Spirit, and then there's the unholy spirit. And the Holy Spirit is so far away from stage performances. And so, there are bee charmers who go out and charm the bees and can take the honey without being stung. There are people who charm animals to break them. They're called horse talkers, charmers, charm animals. They have a charming spirit, a hypnotic spirit. I can talk about hypnosis a long time, but we'll move on. I just say this to you. If you've ever been hypnotized, you need to get that familiar spirit cast out of you, because you bring into yourself a you allow a demon to come into you when you get hypnotized. You can't be hypnotized against your will, but you can be manipulated into being hypnotized. If you have a history of witchcraft and hypnosis and so forth in your family history, it is much easier for you to be hypnotized because you're under that curse. Okay? A medium, that's somebody that allows himself to be possessed by an evil spirit who talks out of them and lets you meet your dead cousin or does divination for you, or does psychic surgery for you. That's someone who will allow themselves to be totally possessed. Okay. A spiritualist, that's someone who believes that everything's got a spirit. My Indian ancestors were spiritualists. When they got ready to make clay, they'd go down and they'd pray to the spirit of the river and the spirit of the clay and the spirit of the water to placate them, to make pottery. They pray to the spirit of the buffalo they killed. Pray to the spirit of the rattlesnake that they worshipped. Everything had a spirit. The trees had a spirit. The animals had a spirit. The earth had a spirit. Everything had a spirit. That's a spiritualist. And you have people who are spiritualists today. And the last one is a necromancer, or one who calls up the dead. That's one who prays to the dead. For instance, people will pray to the dead to intervene for them with God. Open your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Keep your finger there in Deuteronomy because we're coming back. Get one of these little ditties here and put that down in Deuteronomy because we're coming back to Deuteronomy. But let's look at Timothy. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Okay? Now, if you're ever ministering to Catholics, Roman Catholics, and they talk to you about Mary, who was a great woman of faith, but she's dead. She's not alive. The saints, great men of faith, but they're dead. They're not alive. And they cannot intercede for you. The spirit of the Virgin of Guadalupe, she dead. She ain't alive. She cannot intercede for you. There's only one mediator between man and God. And I have them read it. If they ask me about Mary, I take them to this verse. And I say, read it out of your Catholic Bible. And that's what it says in that Catholic Bible. I said, now that's in your Bible. That's your problem. It's in your problem. Not my problem. That's your problem. That's in your Bible. He says there is only one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. I said, he goes to God, he goes to Jesus. I said, I'm sorry, there's only one mediator. You can pray to Jesus yourself, pray to the Father yourself, but there's nobody can mediate for you but Jesus. It's in your Bible. Now you have to worry. I will not argue with you about it. I just say to you that it was canonized in the I was in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. I was in a Catholic community for a number of years. At that time, the Catholic Charismatic Movement nobody ever talked about Mary. The bishop kicked us off of church property because we said we could go to God without going through the priest. And we all wound up in another church. But, praise you, Lord Jesus. There are fine saved people in the Catholic Church. Just like there are fine saved people in the Episcopal Church, in the Baptist Church, in the Methodist Church, in the Presbyterian Church, in the Assembly of God Church. And there are also people who know about Jesus but don't know Him in those churches. Some of them have a high percentage of those who are like I was. I had my card to show that I had been baptized and I had been confirmed. And I guess I thought I was going to show that card to St. Peter when I got there and think it would get me in. But I knew all about Jesus, but I did not know the Savior. And unfortunately, Watchman Nee says that these churches are warehousing souls for hell. always thought that was a little strong statement, but they do not introduce them to the Savior, per se. There are lots of pastors and priests that don't know Him either, unfortunately. And that is a sad state of affairs. They are well-paid social workers. They are kind, well-meaning people in most cases. But they are well-paid social workers. But they don't know the power of God. They have a form of a godliness, but no power. Well, I didn't mean to get into that. But you don't pray to dead people, folks. You don't pray to dead people. What does it say about this? Now, what does the next verse say? Let's go back into Deuteronomy now. Click back to Deuteronomy. And it says, for all who do these things are abomination to the Lord. What did it say at the start? It says, you shall not learn of the abominations of these nations. But if you do them, you become an abomination. That's what it says. For all who do these are an abomination. That's a stench. That's a smell, a bad smell, a stench. That's what it means. It's a stench in God's nostrils. You stink like something dead. Okay. And because of this stench, the Lord your God drives him out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you dispossess, listen to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord has not appointed such to you. Now get this. The Lord your God will raise up from you a prophet like me from the midst of your brethren, him you shall hear. Now the Muslims will tell you that that prophet is Mohammed. It is not. The Bible tells you who that prophet is. And let's look over here now first in Acts chapter 3. You want New Testament proof? Acts chapter 3. Praise you, Lord God. Verse 22. Here Moses preaching at the healing of the man at the beautiful gate at the temple. For Moses truly said to your fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things and whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from the people. Here he's telling you that that prophet was Jesus Christ. Now if you look at Acts 7:37, him, Stephen is giving his testimony. And he says, verse 37, and that is what Moses, who said to the children, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren, him shall be here. This is he who was in the congregation of the wilderness, the angel who spoke to you on Mount Sinai and received our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give us, Jesus. You're not supposed to listen to diviners. You're supposed to seek Jesus Christ. And him you shall hear, and him you shall do. You're not supposed to listen to witches, sorcerers, diviners, soothsayers, hypnotists, any of the power of the occult. Praise the Lord Jesus. Look at Isaiah chapter 9. Let's give you a few verses. Chapter 8, I'm sorry. Verse 19. Aren't highlighters nice? Isaiah 8:19. And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. To the law and to the testimony. If you ever get a word of God from someone, someone gives you a prophecy, or you hear a prophecy, and it does not agree with the word and the spirit of this book. Now, this book is a book of liberty, not a book of bondage, not a book of slavery, not a book of confusion. All those things are not of God. If you hear a prophecy in the church that causes, that brings confusion, brings bondage, not liberty, does not agree with the Word of God, You're listening to a demon speaking, a charismatic witch or sorcerer, a warlock. Did you know that people with Antichrist spirits get up and prophesy in church?
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.